we're going to, I'm going to hop right into the Word just for a few moments here, and what I'm going to do this morning is really different, and I was a little bit nervous about it coming into the early service, because I'm like, okay, this is a different way for Hans to preach, but basically this morning I'm just going to tell a story, and I pray it's a blessing to everyone, especially the dads in the house, because I figured you guys would appreciate this story. I just returned from Montana on Tuesday night really late, like 1:30 in the morning. And I'd been out there for about 8 days preaching. For the past 5 years, I've been blessed to go out there and preach different meetings, whether it's a district rally or a tent meeting, whatever. It's just been a blessing. For the past 4 years in particular, I've preached in the Bitterroot Valley, which is just south of Missoula, and preached an outdoor tent meeting out there, and just with some people who've become like dear friends to us. I mean, they're like us without the accent. They love country, my country style of music and all that. It's just fun, okay? 2 years ago, I took my daughters out with me, and we were able to hike and kind of rekindled a love for the mountains in my heart. And it's just been a blast. This year, I went out and walked in a park several days, and then one day, me and Alex hit the mountains and hiked to about 5,500 feet, and just about killed her, but nonetheless, she survived. And we just perched up on a big rock and just enjoyed the view. Amen? But the experience I want to tell you about happened to me Monday of this past week. So after preaching for 5 days and doing six different services, on Monday morning we had one day free, and I had to get up at 3 a.m. the next morning to fly out. So I'm like, okay, we've got a little bit of time. Let's do something. So we kind of left it up to Alex. So she says, let's get on the river and let's float down the river. I said, okay. So she did some research and found a, quote, family float on the river. So we went outside of Missoula and went to the Blackfoot River. The Blackfoot River, of course, is made famous through Norman MacLean's book, A River Runs Through It. Maybe some of you have seen the movie or read the book. And it's famous for fly fishing, it's famous for rapids, it's famous for, and it's considered one of the most beautiful rivers in all the United States. So in my mind, you know, family float. I thought, I'm going to hop in the boat, like some laid-back boat, with like jeans on, and we're just going to look at the birds and the elk and the bear or whatever else may come out. But the Blackfoot River was, it's only a class 2 or 3 rapids, but it was running this past week at like 5,000 cubic feet per second. And it was 49 when I left the Bitterroot Valley. When I got to Missoula, it was 40 and icing. So we thought about turning back and not doing it, but we just said, well, shoot, let's just go ahead and do it. So we get there. And we get picked up, and they take us to the launching place. And then when we get to the launching place, you know, or before that, they actually had us put on neoprene wetsuits, helmets, life vests, neoprene socks, and make sure you had no cell phones, anything, you know. Then we get to the location, they hand us all a paddle and give us instructions of what to do in case boat capsizes, you're thrown off, you're impaled by limbs, you're caught in a log jam. And while we're going through these instructions, I look over and Jackie kind of mouths to me silently, are you okay with this? And I did what all good dads do. I don't know, man. So we get down in the water. Alex gets on the left front. I get on the right front. Jackie gets behind Alex, and we have a professional guide on the back of the boat, you know, steering the thing. We go into the water, and he says, okay, man, we're going to learn to row right here. Just going to get in sync and go forward. We all start working it. He's like, great, you're doing great. And actually, there was another group with us on a boat behind us that they were more concerned about because it was full and there were some older people on that boat. I didn't know how mobile they were. And we were supposed to be the stronger boat that could help them in case something bad went wrong. But nothing really had gone wrong in 5 years. We hit the first set of rapids and we kind of, we paddle through it. Water, I'm assuming it was like in the low 50s, 50 degrees, comes and just goes all over us. And we're like, whoo! Yes, this is not family floating, I see. Then we go down a little piece further, hit another set of rapids, same thing. Finally, we get to a third set of rapids, and we're talking about birds, and we're talking about wildlife, and then he says, forward! And I just put my oar in the water, and I'm telling you, no longer had I put it in, before I could think, I don't even remember any other scene, we just go, and I'm underwater. And I remember floating down, and I was shocked at first that we just went in, because this is not supposed to happen on the family float. But I went in the water, and what had happened, you know, when you go in the water, you kind of go down, and you think, okay, I'm coming up. And I have a life vest on, I will come up. But when I came up, I was caught, the other guy told me later, I was caught in the hydraulics of the rapids. And so when I came up, I couldn't breathe, and all this, I went down again. And you know, when you go through something like that, seconds become like minutes. And so I finally was knocked out of the hydraulics, and I really started panicking like the second time down, because I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die, and I'm not going to get out of this thing. And finally I came up, moving rapidly downstream, and I looked, and there's another set of rough waters, and I think, I'm not going to make it. And then finally, I see Alex floating downriver. Jackie, I heard, and I saw our boat capsized, and the guide way over yonder going down the river. The whole boat had just instantly flipped. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I learned some things. Things we all know, but I just want to give you three lessons that I'm taking from the Blackfoot River. Number one, listen to instructions. Say it with me, all the men in the house, listen to instructions. All the women in the house, point at your man, I give you permission this one time in life, and say, listen to instruction. I don't know about you guys, but I hate instructions. It's one of my problems in life. I can't tell you how many times I've not read instructions. The two girls grew up, I'd put together toys for them, I'd work on my own vehicles, and how many times at the end of the day I'd have a whole bunch of parts left over that were supposed to be in there somewhere but didn't quite make it. So, you know, instructions, I don't know. But one thing I learned, instructions can save your life. So the guide taught us. Come to find out, the guide who owned the group was the one who initially instructed us. And he said, listen, wear a helmet. Make sure it's on you snug. Wear a life vest. Make sure it's not loose. Because when you go in the water, that thing will come over your shoulders. Plus, the guides use the back of that life vest to yank you out of the water. Don't be shocked by the cold water if you go in. He said, your adrenaline's going to be rushing so much you're not going to notice it anyhow. True. If you're caught under the boat, just reach up with your hands and work your way out of it. When you come up, get your feet up and lay back so you won't catch your feet on any of the rocks or any of the debris below. When you get to shore, don't try to stand up. Find your ground with your knees and hands, then stand up and walk to shore. And finally, stay calm and don't panic in the water. We all agreed that 5-minute lesson is the reason why we're here today. We listened. Amen? It's very similar to the Bible, isn't it? We've been given a set of instructions over the past several thousand years if we just read them and listen to them and obey them. It's amazing to me how many people come and all kind of stuff is going on in their lives and they're not obeying the simplest of instructions. I'm just going to say it because this is the way I preach. Someone came to me recently and had phenomenal things going on in their life and was talking about, well, I'm living with my boyfriend, but we're having some crazy stuff go on. My first thing is, obey the initial instructions not to live with your boyfriend. Or I was down at the bar and you wouldn't believe what happened to me. Dingbat 101, don't go to the bar. I'm sorry. I'm going to get more raw in this service. I'm alive. Hallelujah. We're going to get raw in it. One man said this, that the Bible is an acronym, B-I-B-L-E. Say it with me. B-I-B-L-E. And it stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. You need basic instructions before leaving earth. And this Bible's got all the instructions right here. Get into it. Let it feed your soul. And listen to what the Bible said. Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why do we have such a struggle as we do? Because we don't listen to instructions. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, why is it that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life? Because they neglect their closets. They do not thoroughly meditate on God's word. They love the wheat, but not to grind it. They want the corn, but they don't want to go forth in the fields and gather it. They love the fruit that hangs upon the tree, but they don't want to go pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they won't stoop down to drink it. From such folly, deliver us, O Lord. It's right before you. Spurgeon also said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Listen to instructions. Number two. We all know this, but man, did it hit me. Family matters most. Family matters most. Paul said, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. Infidel, King James calls him. We have a responsibility. God has given us families, and we have a demand on our lives to take care of our family. If you read the Bible, the church doesn't really trump the family system. We sometimes think it does, especially those of us in ministry. We often put all the ministry and everything before our families, but really this is unnatural and not the way the scripture is set up. Jesus did give hard statements. If you read Matthew chapter 12, Luke chapter 14, he did give some very hard statements. He said, you know, if you don't hate your father and mother, you can't follow me, and stuff like that. But what he was actually doing is making a comparison. And he was basically saying that our love for him should be so great and so overpowering that it eclipses all other loves. Even the strongest and most compelling of our natural human loves ought to look like hate when compared with our love for Christ. That's why it was a hard statement. But look at what God did. God created man and God created woman, and he put them in the garden together and he made them one flesh and he blessed it. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And then he wanted us to instruct our children in the way of holiness and truth. Deuteronomy, all the Old Testament, New Testament. Even the psalmist said, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And then the Apostle Paul says this to us, family is important because God created the family, God created marriage, God created childbearing, and it becomes the utmost bond on planet Earth. Really does. Blood's thicker than water, you've heard that? It's true, man. It becomes the utmost bond. So when I got my bearings and was popped out of the rapids, I came up and I'm like, I see daylight and I'm like, and I grabbed my vest and I remember to try to get my feet up, and I had two simultaneous thoughts. The first one was, oh my word, where's Jackie and Alex? If I'm barely making it, they're not going to make it. And my heart sank. And I caught, you know, just a view upstream of me, and I saw the boat capsized and some heads. And I thought, oh no, man, they're not going to make it. There's no way. This is strong current. Then I see Alex's shoe go by me. And I thought, oh my gosh. Some of you guys maybe have been in these types of situations where you know your heart sinks, you just get a car accident or something happens, and it's just a tragedy that just you weren't expecting, and just boom. But Alex actually had presence of mind and calm. She was flipped upside down in the raft, and they tell you to kind of, you know, stuff your foot back in one kind of crease in that raft so you don't fly out. Well, when she went up, she went back in the water, she went upside down and remembers reaching up upside down and pulling her foot out of her shoe. Then she was trapped under the raft and had to find her way out to get up in the rapids. And she was the last one down the river, meaning she probably stayed under longer than all of us. And she said, I remember coming up and screaming, help. And you got to know how funny Alex is. She said, I knew Mom was dead. But I thought, maybe Dad's alive. And then after screaming for help and not being able to, and said no one came, obviously, because we're in rapids and all this, she said, finally, I just said, well, I'm dead. So she said, I relaxed, closed my eyes, laid back, and started singing a song we had been singing all week in revival. And we're like, that's probably what saved you, girl. She stopped fighting and let it roll. And then I saw her come past me. And I reached out and grabbed her. And the other guide swam back upriver. And she did have presence of mind enough to reach and grab an oar on the way down. And they connected oars. And he was able to pull her along. And I was able to pull her into the boat. Jackie, we heard.
I'm having chest pain. Somebody get me out. I can't breathe.
And then they yanked Jackie up and put her just face forward on the raft, and she's yelling and screaming the whole time. And these guys were so professional and so great, man. We made their website, by the way. Or their Facebook page, we did. But this one, the other guy on the other boat, he's kind of a long-haired dude. You know, he's kind of a hippie guy, man, surfer dude. And he's like, dude, are you okay, man? And I grab onto the rope, and I'm hanging there, and I grab on with a death grip to Jackie's leg, and I'm like, dude, I don't know, man. I took in a lot of water, and I don't know how much more I can go. And he looks concerned, so they finally get us to the shore, and I'm on hands and knees till I get my footing, and then I stand up. And this guide sees I stood up, and he's like, man, wasn't that awesome, dude? Somebody say, family matters. Family matters most. When we got out of that river, man, well, first of all, Jackie's like, they said, let's get back in the boat. We'll go get the other raft because it's gone. We'll go get it, and the rest of this is not bad. There's 16 miles of river. We're in the middle of nowhere. And so you don't just hike out of places like that. They're like, just let's get back on the raft and we'll find the others. It's going to be all right. Jackie's like, I'm not getting back on no raft. I'm not getting back in the water. Forget it. I will walk. I will hike. I will ride a cow out. I will get out of this wilderness somehow. But the goodness of God is amazing in the midst of all this stupidity of ours. That the one place we were spit up on shore was at an exclusive resort where they have tents that are air-conditioned with heated floors, a private butler, a private chef, and your own private vehicle on a 37,000-acre ranch, and it costs about $1,500 a night per person. That's where we came up. And so we talked to one of the employees. It's like, hey, man, could you take us to the road? They're like, yeah, we'll give you a ride out. No problem. And then once we got all around and I saw Jackie and Alex, I'm like, man, it's good to see you guys. Jackie still had her glasses intact. One earring fell off, and the guy picked it out of her zip-up thing and said, here is a souvenir. She kept both earrings on. Family matters most. And the final thing is this. Once we got to safety, the owner of the company came and he found us. He said, man, when I saw that boat, he said, I never go back. I go to a certain location, really out of cell phone range, and just wait. He said, but this time I thought, I'm going to go check on these guys. And he said, I went and I wanted to see you go through those rapids, but I couldn't quite get to it. So he said, I went to another spot and I saw this raft coming down with no one in it. And he said, I went furious. Because he said, in 25 years of doing this, we've probably had that happen 4 or 5 times on that river. Now, they do class 5 rapids and all that too. But he said, it's just the right mixture. The right time, the right weather, the right level of that water, it was all flowing right. And he said, you had what we call a I saw God moment. I said, yeah, we did. We had an I saw God moment. Third thing I learned, though, is that God still has a purpose for me. Because when I came out of that water, I eventually got back to the hotel in Missoula, and I called the pastor that I'd been speaking for, and I told him my experience. First thing out of his mouth was, Hans, evidently God isn't finished with you yet. I remember we contacted Alan Meads a little bit later for some reason, and I let Jackie tell the story because she tells it much better and at a much higher decibel level. But anyhow, we told the story to Alan, and first thing out of Alan's mouth was, God ain't finished with you yet, man. You evidently still have a purpose in life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why? Because we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, and we're His workmanship, that we could do the works that He's already ordained for us to do. So if I have some works, I'm going to get a little Calvinistic on you, but if I have some works that He's already ordained to do, I'm going to have to get those works done. Can somebody say amen? And if there's breath in your body, there's still life and there's still purpose for you on this earth. God's not finished with you yet. So that tells me all of you in here this morning still have a purpose, still have a destiny, still have a job to perform, still have a calling on your life, because God's not finished with you. Can you shout amen? Amen. Shout this out with me. I'm alive, and it's for a reason. Come on, one more time. I'm alive, and it's for a reason. God's pulled us out. John Wesley said, I was a brand plucked from the fire. His house caught on fire when he was a young boy. He came out and survived and became one of the greatest evangelists of the whole world's ever seen. And he realized that God had spared him sovereignly for such a time as his ministry led into. And we know today, all of us in this room, many of us could have been dead. I about died in the ocean years ago. I should have died in car wrecks or on the lake years ago. But I'm telling you, when I was crazy. But I'm telling you what, God has kept us for such a time as this because we have a testimony, we have a story to tell, there's someone you can reach, there's someone who needs the words you have in your heart, there's someone that needs the anointing on your life. Can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Okay, Stacy, so we came out. And this is the after pick, and we still look like we got good sense. And now you can go to the River Guides. They have a Facebook page. And he said, I got this from him. He said, this is Team Hess. And he said something else about the guides and blah, blah, blah. And he said, but watch out for Hess Hole. He said, I'm renaming the river. I'm renaming that part of the river Hess Hole now. Can you shout amen? We forever left our mark on the Blackfoot River. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. Jonah chapter 2. Jackie said we had a Bible trip. We went through that first set of rapids. She said, hey, this is like Peter on the ocean. Then we went from Peter to Jonah. So I'm going to read Jonah chapter 2, and it's a blessing to me. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you've brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I've vowed. What Jonah is saying, he didn't say, oh, he jumped overboard and got swallowed up. No, he said, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, and out of the place of death I cried. Some theologians believe he died and was resurrected. He said, out of Sheol, the realm of the dead, I cried. And here's what he promised God. I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to go back to the temple of the Lord and pay up on my tithe. And I'm going to worship like nobody's business. Why? Because God's brought me out of this thing. And I'm thankful. Hallelujah. This is why this morning I told the early crowd, I came in here this morning, they started playing music, man. I didn't care how cold it was or how hot it was in this building. I didn't care how dark it was or how loud the music was. I didn't care how the singers, if they were on tune or not. All I wanted to do was worship Jesus. I didn't come to pick and complain. I came to lift my hands and give God glory because he's brought me out for one more day, one more week, hallelujah, to give glory to him. Come on, if you're thankful, you got that kind of heart about you that you're saying, I come today to give him praise and give him honor and give him glory. He's worthy, King of kings and Lord of lords, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, he who was and is to come, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Bright and Morning Star. He's my creator. He's the reason I'm alive. He's the reason I can stand here and give him praise. Hallelujah. I want some thankful people to give him a shout today. Woo. Glory to God. Just give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Maybe you weren't stupid enough to go whitewater rafting, but maybe you're in the hydraulics of life right now. Maybe there's relationship issues straining you and pulling you down time and time again, and you feel like you can't get your bearings. Or maybe there's drug addiction in your life and it's pulling you down and trying to pull you into the undertow. I don't know, but I'm telling you what. I serve a God who's a deliverer. I serve a God who still saves. I serve a God who can do anything. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could ask or think. And if you just lift your hands right now and say, God, I need some help down here. God, throw out a lifeline. Come on, throw out a raft. Hallelujah. Send a guide, God. Swim back up river for me, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands if you need some help. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I give you praise right now for everyone in this building, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you've given us breath for another day. And I thank you, God, that you've brought us to this place for a reason. And there's a reason for this season we're in right now. And God, I just pray, Lord, for those that are struggling. God, those who are caught in that hydraulics of life, God, they're caught in that. And they need us just to be spit out, Lord. We just pray a breaking today in the name of Jesus. Just that they break forth in the name of Jesus and come out. Hallelujah. Able to tell a story. Able to give testimony, God, of how you deliver them, Lord, for all these things. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed, and we're going to close in prayer here. How many of you can lift your hand and say, Pastor, you're preaching to me, man. Come on, you're preaching to me. I can relate this to my life. I'm in a place right now that I need a lifeline thrown out. Well, Father, I pray for each of these people who've raised their hands right now, and I pray that you touch them right now in the name of Jesus, and God, you minister to them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, come and be strong on their behalf, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and touch and minister to them, God, right now, breaking chains and fetters that bind them, Father, and setting them free from this moment on, God. I pray when they walk out of these doors, they have a different set of lenses on, a different mindset, God, to what they're going to face this week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help them navigate the waters this week, God. Stay away from the rocks and stay away from the log jams and stay away from the rapids. God, help them navigate this week, Lord, in the name of Jesus. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, how many can raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not serving Jesus, but man, I want to give my heart to him this morning. I want to give everything to him this morning. Right where I stand, I want to surrender everything I have to him. Or maybe you've served the Lord in times past, but you've grown cold on that commitment, and now you want to say, Pastor, I want to renew that commitment right now. I want to renew that commitment. Thank you. I see hands here. Hallelujah. Well, listen, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for you guys. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, as I pray, you just pray out loud with me. And you're going to mean this thing, and God's going to come and start something amazing in your life right now. Okay? Hey, the rescue boat's coming by right now. We're going to pick you up right now. Jesus is going to pull you in right now. Come on, let's pray. Father, I stand in need of a Savior. Forgive me of all my sin and all the times I failed you. I can't do this life alone. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Rescue me. Take me out of a life that's not pleasing to you. Set me on a highway that's pleasing to you. And I give you all the thanks and I praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Can everybody shout amen and amen? You know, if you study the word salvation in Greek, it really has the sense of rescue to it. It really has the sense of rescue, that God rescues you from something. We've been rescued from sin. We've been rescued from destruction. Can you shout amen?
Thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast today. And I just hope the service was a great encouragement to you, great blessing to your life. I hope you get the chance to join us sometime if you're ever near or in Elizabeth City area, because the atmosphere in this church is just, I mean, it's contagious and it's amazing. I'm constantly amazed at what God does every week in the lives of people. I'm privileged, humbled, honored to be part of it. If you're watching today and there are needs in your life, I want to say a prayer with you and pray with you over those needs. The greatest need that each person has, though, is for God to come into their heart and occupy that void or that vacuum that's in each human person. We were created to commune with God, to have a fellowship and relationship with Him. So if you're not serving the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, and an amazing life change will begin today for you. So if you'd like to pray with me, please just close your eyes. Say these words with me right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I give it all to you today. Take away the guilt. Take away the shame. Take away the judgment against me. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Help me now to live the rest of my life as His servant and in fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can all say amen wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever, you can praise the Lord a little bit right there in your own environment. Thanks so much for joining us. And join us on our website. Join us on one of our social media pages. Let us know what's happened to you. We would be so encouraged and blessed to hear. So, until next time, God bless.